Good morning, Chelveston, Caldecott and Chelston Rise. It's Thursday, the 28th of May, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. So today is another lockdown review by the government, making decisions on how the rules will be changed in the light of the evolving progress of the epidemic. When they changed the rules 3 weeks ago, I was very critical of the changes. There were clearly ambiguities and inconsistencies that I thought would cause trouble. If you remember, you were allowed to travel as far as you want, but not to stay overnight. You could meet one person in open spaces, but not two. You could sit all day on the front lawn and converse with neighbours more than 2 metres away, as encouraged on VE Day, but not in the back garden. And today I'm going to examine what happened as a result. The bank holiday just gone was lovely, and it prompted many families to take advantage of the new freedoms. So let's look at three locations. Durdledore in Dorset, Bournemouth and Skegness. Durdledore is a remote but iconic beach. You need to plan to get there and it's an all-day excursion. And hundreds of families from across the south of England did. But the scenes beggared belief. The beach was already packed, but the families decided to make the 15-minute climb down to the beach from the car park. Now the steps to the beach are very narrow. No more than 4 feet wide. Social distancing is just not possible, and yet still people did it. People coming up from the beach were huffing and puffing in the heat. People following and those going down were passing through their possibly contaminated air for the whole of the climb. Collectively, all of these families had decided that this journey met all the rules, and there was no one in authority to close the beach when it got full. And not to be indelicate, what exactly did these families do for toilets? Normally, we use the public toilets at the campsite near the car park. However, these were all closed. So it makes you think, doesn't it? No wonder so many people were standing waist deep in the sea. Now, in Bournemouth, the beaches were also rammed, both with locals and those travelling there. But again, no facilities were open. And even worse, there were beach hawkers walking up and down selling ice creams and cold drinks. Surely these hawkers could be super spreaders. How was that a good idea? And then we've got Skegness in Lincolnshire. It's the closest resort to the cities and towns of South Yorkshire, and people travel for over 2 hours to get there. Earlier in the week, many furloughed people had travelled there on those lovely warm days, and they found only one toilet open in the whole resort. So there were queues hundreds of metres long, with people struggling to keep their distance and, to be honest, struggling to keep their legs crossed. Can you imagine one toilet being shared amongst all those people? What do you think the COVID-19 risks were there then? But by the bank holiday, the council had taken the unilateral decision to reopen the public toilets and to allow some refreshment kiosks to open. Although technically against the rules, this was far better than having a town full of visitors unable to feed themselves or relieve themselves. Clearly the rules were flawed. So let's look closer to home. One of our residents is clinically shielding. And when lockdown came, she got the letter telling her not to leave her property. So she untaxed her car and she's followed the rules ever since. The same is true of her adult daughter in Raunds, who also has a serious health condition and is in isolation too. Unfortunately, before the lockdown, our resident used to travel there daily to Raunds to help out with her young granddaughters, just to take some pressure off their mother. And at least once a week, the girls would come back to the village for a sleepover, for their mother to have a full rest. But this has all stopped, and everyone's suffering from the effects. However, of course, they're obeying the rules. But to be honest, the rules are clearly inappropriate in this case. What is the additional risk to both halves of the family to continue with their previous support arrangement? Provided, of course, that they're all isolated from everyone else. In my view, there's very little additional risk indeed. The only person not self-isolating in the combined households is the son-in-law, and you can be damn sure that he'll be taking every precaution, given that everyone he loves is at risk. You see, the problem with top-down rules is that there are always unexpected consequences, and they can never adequately fit all circumstances. They're a very blunt instrument indeed, and they're doomed to fail. It is far better to manage by setting out clear principles and then allowing intelligent people to use their judgment by asking critical questions. Let's take New Zealand. The Prime Minister was clear when she spoke to her nation. She was locking down the country in a 5-stage plan to contain and eradicate the virus. All families must self-isolate from each other to eliminate transmission quickly. But if a member of the household is a critical worker, they can go to work, but if and only if they isolate from their family. Now, this would obviously be painful, but it was in their own self-interests to keep their own families secure. But she made it clear. By doing this, every key worker was making a huge sacrifice for the national good. Lynn's friend Melanie in New Zealand has been updating us. She lives in a granny flat above her daughter's garage. She loves her 2 granddaughters, but she chose to stay at work because many of her colleagues couldn't isolate from their families. So even living on the same property, Melanie has not been able to interact with her grandchildren for weeks, until the Prime Minister gave the go-ahead to relax the lockdown. Melanie saw this as her contribution to the national war effort, and not as an arbitrary rule to be flouted. In Sweden, the Prime Minister addressed the nation and said that the nation needed to keep going to avoid a national economic disaster. However, let's be clear, this would come at the cost of lives, all casualties of the war against the virus. It was up to every Swede to behave responsibly, to do their bit to minimise the casualties. Every avoidable death should be on the conscience of every Swede. All businesses would remain open, but they had to follow sensible guidelines to keep their staff and their customers as safe as practical. All customers had to be sensible, and if they weren't, they'd be asked to leave. Any business found to be operating unsafely would be closed down and not reopened. And yes, lives have been lost in Sweden, but many less pro rata than the UK. And yes, some nightclubs and bars in Stockholm have been forcibly closed, but overall, the outcome has been good. Now, any psychologist, behavioural scientist or experienced manager will tell you that top-down rules are there to be flouted. Traditionally, rules have been for the guidance of the wise but the adherence of fools. But in this crisis, it's been reversed. The wise are following the rules and the fools are ignoring them. Unfortunately, this won't change. It's human nature. The very people the rules are supposed to be guiding just won't listen. We've seen this in spades for the last few weeks, and near the airfield in our village every night is party night. The cat is truly out of the bag. So what can be done? Well, the long-term answer is universal and regular testing with a personal COVID-19 passport. However, that is a while off. What I would do today is to announce a COVID-19 secure inspection scheme for all businesses and premises. This would operate like the food hygiene scheme, often called the scores on the doors, with each business having a 1 to 5 rating reflecting their level of COVID-19 measures. Just think about it. How many of you would happily eat or buy a takeaway from an establishment with just 1 star on the door? Every business will be free to open in June at their own pace, but must put in place processes to operate safely for both staff and customers. The criteria for the 1 to 5 rating would be published, and the businesses could self-certify and display their logos. The public will be instructed to wear masks at all times in all establishments, and everyone will be advised never to set foot in a place with a rating of less than 3. Inspections would start immediately under existing health and safety laws, and any business or establishment that's exaggerated their score would be closed immediately for 1 month with no appeal. A second offence would result in permanent closure. Then we need a new public information campaign which explains much more clearly exactly how this virus is transmitted. And we need to say what every person needs to do to protect themselves and, most importantly, their loved ones. It must become morally unacceptable to transmit this virus to anyone else, intentionally or accidentally. And every establishment must help its clients, its employees, and the general public to become COVID-19 secure starting tomorrow. Thank you.